I think find the perfect manufacturer who understands you. Your partner is crucial. Because all those bad stories you hear is basically manufacturers who don't believe in you, who are like, oh my God, she only wants to buy like 50 bags. I am not interested in this. But my guys, they believed in the story.
The Entrepreneurista Podcast Network presents Startups in Stilettos, your guide to getting your business off the ground. We're your hosts. I'm Jessica Abo, media trainer and journalist. And I'm Stephanie Carton, co-founder of Entrepreneurista, Socialfly, and Market. Each week, we'll talk to a new startup founder about how they turned their great idea into a business.
And then Stephanie and I will answer their questions about taking that business to the next level.
Get ready to grow your business and put your best heel forward.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. We're so happy to have you here today. Today, we are talking with Sylvia Kampshoff. She's the founder and CEO of Kantaka Trainers On Demand and the founder of Pata Lifestyle. Sylvie, you wear so many hats, but I know you're going to talk about Pata Life today. Tell us a little bit about that company.
Yeah, so it has a really exciting story. I really stumbled into it. So we had the son of a friend visiting, and he lived with us for 3 months. And his mom died when he was only 14, when he was with us, what is just recently. He was 17, and he really, you could tell he was still so sad and kind of lost. And we went for one of those happy lunches with the margarita, and my husband was like, Sylvie, you have to help him. The one thing you are really good is starting companies. Why don't you start something with him to help give back and help avoid unnecessary breast cancer deaths? Because in Argentina, where his mom, obviously, and him, where they are from, they have one of the highest breast cancer death rates. And I'm like, this is crazy. It's so preventable. And I really thought more and more than about it. And my mom had breast cancer also last year, got her breast removed. Same for my husband's mom, and they are still alive, right? But it just, it's all around you. And talking with women, it really connects. I was all of a sudden, wow, like you felt relationships I didn't feel before, because it seems to be such a common issue. So we're like, okay, let's do this. We need to do something to support giving mammograms to women in need in Argentina, because Argentina is a pretty poor country. I go there for the last 12 years because we are passionate polo players, and we go there every year. And I'm like, I come back every year with one of the George's like bags. They have the best leather products, and everybody when I'm back is like, oh my God, where did you get this? And I threw out all my designer bags since then and only wear those bags. Basically going back there, looked for a hospital to partner with, was like, hey, Kiera Shuja, I want to help you guys with my kids next to me. And I found a university hospital who could actually understand me. And they were like hugging me. Oh my God, that you want to help. This is unbelievable. They couldn't believe me, the stranger coming there without any Spanish, not wanting to help. But they met with me and we made a plan how to actually help those women who don't even have a car or motorcycle to get to a hospital, how we would organize that. Then we found a manufacturer through a friend, and we started with existing Argentine designs of those bags, but I amended them with like a pink inside and a pink logo at the outside so that you know what a Pata bag is, but it's not in your face like a Louis Vuitton, right? It's not screaming Louis Vuitton money. It's just, you know, it's high quality and it stands for something and you want to have it, but it's not so obvious. Like, I was always somebody, I don't want those big brand names. And that is what we also want to do, and really create a community around it of women helping women. And I think it's a great cause and we can achieve a lot.
Sylvie, when did you come up with this idea? And when did your website go live?
So that was really end of last year. And obviously also 100% running super fast with Kantaka. So it was more social cause project. Let's do this on weekends, long evenings, let's look into it, and found a development team in Brazil. So again, somehow the connection with South America, and the website went live a month, 6 weeks ago. Really me having those bags in my trunk, but the women go crazy about it. If you're really of customer market fit, and I had the absolute MVP and just wanted to test it. Do people actually want this, right? Is this crazy idea out of a lunch? I didn't spend a lot of money in it. But women come back. They tell their friends about it. I have women working. Are you the lady with the bags? Where are they? And then it's like 10, 15 women around my car. So it is unbelievable, the feedback I got. I also had a friend of mine who's a news anchor, and she picked up on it. And like everybody, the support, what came and the connection with the cause is just surreal. Very exciting to see.
And how did you involve your family friend's son? What role does he play in this company?
Very good question. So he, at the end, he wasn't interested in the bags. He didn't want to do my bags. And I'm like, that is the only thing I have to do something what I'm also passionate about. He wanted to sell different things, what is just not me. I mean, I couldn't, more man stuff, right? And I'm like, I know those bags work because everybody asked me about them for the last 12 years. Everyone wants me to bring them. So yeah, he didn't continue, but we are still great friends. But it just wasn't, the entrepreneur, it wasn't his path. It was my path, but still the mission and the cause is the same. He triggered it and it said that we can't do it together, but it wasn't the right thing for him at that point in time. And I still, it's for me, really, the more I think about it, this just being able to help women who don't have the money to even discover that there's something, to be able to discover it early, that they don't have to die, because it's really, it's preventable. If you find out early, you can do stuff, right? So it actually saves lives, and that already drives me sufficiently, and the feedback I get from other women. And I also see this by women for women. It's something I always stood for. Also with Kanthaka, I got so much support from other female entrepreneurs, investors, etc. So it's something I somehow live for, this community of women. So I like it that it's embedded in Pata as well.
And how do you actually help women? So walk us through, someone goes to your website, they purchase a bag, and then what happens?
I will go back, me in person, because I don't just want to donate. I could just make a transfer to Argentina and it disappears forever, right? It's a pretty corrupt country. So flight is booked, me going back in November, we will have to organize a bus. I hope more buses to go. And so the hospital is in Pilar, what is outside of Buenos Aires. And we organize the women. You need security to drive them there. They couldn't even go there by themselves. And then we will do a mammogram. If they find something, you have to do an ultrasound. Then you have to do a second ultrasound. And only then the network kicks in that the hospital would pay for surgery. So that is a good thing. Because otherwise we would find something and then they, okay, we found something, but now it's on you. But so at that point, the hospital's social system would kick in. And yeah, so we will do a portion of the profits, because obviously we don't have profits right now because we are investing in the website and everything. But no matter that there are no profits, I will give 10% of everything we made, and if it's out of my pocket, to the cause. So that's the goal. And that will happen in November. And I'm so excited. And it's also like I heard repeatedly to Tom's and how he did his, how he gave the shoes. And my goal is really to do as many of those mammograms as we can get until then.
How have you gone about getting the word out about your business since launch?
Really just launched. So it was word of mouth, but word of mouth works amazing if you have a cause, people believe in, and a good product. So even, and it was very interesting to see, so me even putting a flyer in a laundry service and people email you that they want to wholesale with you. I put a lot of Kantaka flyers out. I never had somebody emailing me from 5 flyers. So it's a great. And then PR, I think PR will be fundamental because it's also a story I want to spread. I want to spread the awareness. Just even if you can afford it, you don't need us. Do your mammograms. It's so important. Go there every year. So PR and influencers. I think this is really because everybody who sees the bags is so in love. It's not this, I'm not sure. It's like, oh my God, I want it. So I think influencers will be huge. I started testing Facebook, but with my experience also from Kantaka, the algorithms got tricky. If you don't have serious funds to spend, what is like 3K upwards, it became a tricky game. Like it's easy to drive the traffic to your website, but it's so, our price point is amazing. It's pretty much any woman, right? So we really have to figure out who is our smaller circle of women and expand from that. I think it's a mistake to go super broad because our price point, $300 a bag, pretty much everybody can afford it, but you can't just market now to every woman in the US. So really, my gut feeling is to go to this equestrian crowd, not just the polo, but also like a little bit Wellington and the jumpers, and then really figure out who is this person, who actually wants it, and get some influencers there and then broaden the audience. So that is the plan for now. But obviously it's bootstrapped and pretty much just testing the waters yet. But that is my assumption where the route will go.
What advice do you have for entrepreneurs out there who, like you, have a product and then they have to deal with inventory when it comes to making sure that they're not getting stuck with too much or that they're not struggling with too little?
I think find the perfect manufacturer who understands you, who understands your stage. And I really stumbled into somebody who I think gave me great terms with not having to pay everything upfront and really being able to adapt quickly with, hey, this one didn't work as much. Let's cut on those. And let's rather add those colors. And we even had suggestions. So I think your partner is crucial. Because all those bad stories you hear is basically manufacturers who don't believe in you, who are like, oh my God, she only wants to buy like 50 bags. I am not interested in this. But my guys, they believed in the story. They just couldn't believe that this German, American, whatever woman walks in with those two little kids and says, hey, I want those bags to give mammograms. And I think for that, they see me more as a they want to support the cause also.
So they see you as a partner.
Yeah, as a partner. So I think that is crucial.
How did you find your manufacturer?
Through friends. Argentina. Referrals. And makes a huge difference because there's this trust factor what you immediately have. Because otherwise, I think you would double check everything. And it helped me a lot by not having to stand next to the production line all that. I mean, it's not huge. We tested on certain bags, but that helps you tremendously. I think that is really the partner is everything. And I listened to so many how I built this. And I think the ones who struggled at the beginning is where the manufacturer was like, you need to with this minimum volume pay up front. And I think that really can kill your business. So it's, and make the partner believes in it. Like mine, they love the story. Even now with the mammograms, they want to find more ways to help other women. Like they're really attached to it. And I think that makes a huge difference.
And what does Pata mean?
So for me, it meant Patagonia, because I love Patagonia. It's really wilderness and yeah, I love the landscape, the people. But then I got told by better Spanish speaking people than me that it's also the paw of a cat or a dog, what it wasn't supposed to mean. But I think just pata life, it goes so easy. I just pata. It's For me, it's an easy word. So I'm like, it's perfect.
Want a chance to be on the show? We're currently accepting applications from our Entreprenista League members to be featured on Startups and Stilettos. Think of the Entreprenista League as your team members in what can be a lonely startup founder's journey. As startup founders, we may not get the luxury of a huge team from day one, but with the League community, you have a built-in support system. It's been proven that the only way you can build a successful startup is with a strong community. If you find yourself in need of that community, there's a place for you in the Entreprenista League. Our members are networking, doing business together, and forming real and meaningful connections. Head over to entreprenista.com/join to learn more. That's entreprenista.com/join. I can't wait to meet you and help you navigate your business journey.
Given where you are in your business, do you have questions for Stephanie or for me? Because we would love to help you elevate your brand.
A lot. So now is a crucial stage. Like so far, it was like this fun project, right? And like, let's just test it and you have nothing to lose. But now it's a little bit in this, do you go all in? Like what always helped me a lot is mentors, and I have a pretty good network, and I spoke with some in the industry and they were all like, Sylvie, this is expensive to scale. It's not that easy. It's not this anymore. You send one influencer and it magically explodes, or one article in Forbes and you are sold out. The times are over. So my question would be, because my assumption is press will work because women, like they connect with the story. Would you, and I know probably that's a common question, but it's, would you pay for PR or would you rather do the legwork yourself and write your LinkedIn messages and connect and like, hey, I heard this is like just trending. I would be a great person to talk on this topic. Or would you just say you really need somebody with a strategy behind it, somebody who helps you and builds more a story around it?
I think Stephanie can answer from a business and scaling and strategy standpoint. In terms of PR, I would ask yourself a few questions. Number one, PR is great, but you want to make sure that you are going to be in front of the people who actually are buying handbags and at this price point and are excited by this space. So for me, for example, I went on the Today Show the day that my book launched, but I sold more books going on podcasts where people cared about social media and FOMO and a bunch of other things. So I think you have to know where your customer is and then make sure that you are appearing in the outlets where they shop and developing partnerships. And I don't work in retail, so there are so many other people out there who could talk to you about this more in depth. But I would think that if you go to the outlets, even that have partnerships where they even get a percentage of your sale because it's an e-commerce site, Refinery29, People.com, like all these digital websites.
Affiliates.
So affiliates might be the way to go. I wouldn't just think about PR for PR's sake, because you might say, wow, I was in Forbes and we only sold 2 bags. This doesn't make sense. We were in Forbes and that's such a huge opportunity. But if you go to a place where they are invested in your product doing well, that might be a better PR opportunity for you, or even pay to play opportunities might make more sense for you than just trying to get PR for the sake of getting press.
That's exactly what I heard, that really changed. This one article, what changed lives, what happened, like away, a lot of those founders were talking about that. But I think that actually really changed. I also was with Kantaka on the morning show, and we didn't see any spike because it just wasn't the audience.
Exactly. And I was going to jump in and just say, you know, many people aren't sitting in front of their TV watching TV anymore. They're consuming content on social media, and it can build your credibility, or will build your credibility, to get featured on Forbes, Entrepreneur, Entreprenista, podcasts, across all of these different media outlets. But then it's about taking that media piece and amplifying that piece with spend, targeting the right audience. So do you ever see ads on Facebook or Instagram where it's like XYZ product as seen on Forbes, or as seen on Entrepreneur, as seen on Entreprenista? It builds that instant credibility, and it's not necessarily Forbes that's running that piece and sponsoring it. It's the founder who was featured in that publication using that as a credibility piece, because now that validates it to the consumer. Like, oh, this was featured in this publication. This is credible. I want to buy this. So those pieces can be really great to get that credibility, then take it, amplify it with ad spend, targeting your exact consumer who you're looking for. And then to jump in on what Jess was saying about brand partnerships, I think brand partnerships for you are going to be the key to your success. So there's so many organizations and other partners out there that don't have products to sell in their organization, and they support a community of people that have gone through cancer or breast cancer, and they're looking for additional products to sell and to share stories. So I would look at partnering with other organizations as well.
And people. So just to piggyback off of what Steph said, two things. The first is, when I do segments with people for entrepreneur.com, I always ask them, because I'm curious, like, what is this piece supposed to do for you? How will this piece move the needle? Is it brand awareness? Are you seeking funding? Because everybody then uses the piece differently. Some people do what Steph said, which is they put spend behind it and they then see this great return on more followers and more customers because they went through that virtual experience. And then other people just stick a slide in their deck because they know that they have a really big opportunity coming up, and just showing potential investors that they were featured in the media really gives them a lot of product confidence and credibility. So it all comes down to, what do you want the press to do, number one? And then number two, how outside of the box do you want to go? Because if it were me sitting here and thinking about what you could do, I would think about partnering with a fashion designer prior to September Fashion Week or February Fashion Week, and seeing if you could get your totes and your bags or your belts as part of that person's line that they showcase. So maybe they have their own runway collection, but perhaps the fashion designer cares about breast cancer causes. Perhaps the designer is a breast cancer survivor or has a breast cancer survivor in their family or lost someone to breast cancer. So there are so many ways that you can be thinking about how you want to get your product out there that don't just land on traditional PR or ads. And there's this whole other world out there. But I do think you have to then ask yourself the first question, which is, how much money do I want to personally put behind this? How much inventory do I have to give to this? Because a lot of these brand partnerships will require you to upfront those costs.
You are so on point on all those questions which are in my head. It's unbelievable. No, you understood my situation already better than I.
Well, I have one other thing to add, or 10, but I'll start with one. Storytelling is key, right? So many brands now have missions behind the brand, causes, charities that they're donating to. And what really can set your brand apart from all of these other companies that are doing similar things is really the stories that you can tell. So can you not only tell your personal story, but also, do you have any testimonials or videos or footage from being at the hospital, the people that you've met there, talking about, you know, the impact that for every bag sold, I'm making up numbers right now, but let's say it's $30 or $40 for every bag sold that goes to a mammogram. Well, in Argentina, what does it cost for a mammogram? So like, you can really frame it for every bag sold, one woman will be able to receive a mammogram and this could save her life. So really being able to share that information and storytell will be very impactful.
It's so true. And that is also something I thought about so much now, because originally they told me a mammogram is $30. What I'm like, perfect. One bag, one mammogram. And then it turned out it's way, way more expensive. And you have to think about, what if we find something? You have to do the ultrasound and the second ultrasound. So it's at the end roughly $250. So we have to sell several bags for one person in case they find something. What makes the story, and I 100% agree with you, it's not about it being catchy, but I also want that every woman who buys it exactly knows what happened. So I'm at the moment also, because it's so early, so how do I really make them, because it's so complicated, like my ultrasound, all my story, I talk the whole time, nobody gets it. So really, how to make it more understandable, like you buy a shoe, you get a shoe, easy, everybody gets it. But
so here's another thought for you too. Oftentimes when you sign up for a charity event, it will say, do you want to make an additional donation? And I wonder, because I think storytelling is so paramount here, but closing the loop is equally as important. So like wanting to know what happened to your friend's son, wanting to know how much is a mammogram in Argentina. I think giving as much information as possible is amazing. But what if you in your checkout had buy your bag and then do you want to tack on another $30 to pay outright for another mammogram? I would totally do that as a consumer because now you're giving me the opportunity to help another person, but it's not costing me another bag. So there might be other ways for you to embed opportunities. And maybe even speaking about affiliates, maybe it's a matter of partnering with other influencers who care about breast cancer. Maybe it's about partnering with breast cancer organizations and finding ways that when they have a silent auction, you donate a bag, like just anything you can do to get your name and your product out there. But then giving people that opportunity to tack on that extra $30 or even do it, if it's more, then tack on $30 for a mammogram, tack on $60 for a mammogram and transportation, tack on $100 for a mammogram, transportation, and something else that day, because now you're just, you are literally handing the opportunity to people and you're just making it as easy as one click.
I should probably really also go back earlier than November. I always go like to really figure out more in detail what, and I love this idea. Because a lot are like, oh, wow, that's so cheap for this bag. They're like, this is like a $3,000 bag. Why is it $300? I'm like, I want to make it accessible. A culture, what isn't to everybody. But this add-on, I love it.
The other thing I would add is, unlike a lot of people who just have a product and they have to work really hard at figuring out when is their product going to be timely in the news, you have a built-in month, which is October, because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. But if you start to reach out to producers and reporters now and say, I am planning on going to Argentina in October, like let's say you do move it and it's now not November, now it's October. If you start to say to them now, I'm going to Argentina, I'm going to be bringing back footage. Maybe you even hire someone in Argentina to follow you around and take footage that you can then share with a newsroom if they don't have the ability to send a crew or a photographer or connect you with their remote team in Argentina. But now you're giving people an actual news piece that it will be timely in a few months that they might be really excited about, that if you pitch them in October, you're already too late. So I would think about your PR strategy really around this month. And then you can piggyback off of October with November Giving Back, Giving Tuesday, the holidays, then gift bags and gift guides for December. So you have like your sweet spot, I think, October, November, December coming up. So if you're ever going to consider getting a publicist, this actually might be the time you want one. And then you can hire that person for 3-6 months and then figure out how you carry PR on your own moving forward.
I think I need to hire you now.
I'm available.
No, it was supposed to be this like recording. Like, oh my God, I have my whole notebook now full of ideas. You're amazing.
Well, this podcast episode is recorded, so you can go back and listen to it. And yeah.
Why did I even take so many notes? And I told you, right? But you guys still work in PR, right?
I do, and Steph does through her digital agency. We just do it through different ways. So I help people get ready to go on air. So let's say the Today Show were to say to you, yes, Sylvie, we want to follow you. I help people get ready to talk in sound bites and be able to tell their story in a really powerful, meaningful way so that they don't have stage fright and they don't ramble and they can make the most out of their segment. And then Stephanie helps people maximize their exposure and their business.
Wow. No, I really am blown away. Like, I had a lot of mentors, but this was amazing. But this one is really what drives me. Is this piece? And for that, you have to be there. Like, it's hard. I can't just communicate, and would be super helpful to have some footage already now and really show a story and show the faces of women. Like, I also, with my husband, we are always like thinking about what if we really find something and we want to, we could even do a bag and name it the woman and say, hey, that's Maria's bag. And we auction it off, that it's not the 300. This is, we can make it a little bit more special, but it's for Maria because we found something, and even they pay a little bit, but it won't change her life if she really needs more treatment. So all of that stuff still has to be figured out. But what I think could be super powerful, because so many companies, they know donate, but they don't actually see where the money goes. And that is for me the most important. I want to be there. I want to know them. when you are there, you only see what else is needed. Like the first time I went there, I asked them, what would be if we really sell a lot, what would you need? And they said a portable mammogram machine, because the women can't travel. What is crazy, right? In our world, it's hard to understand, but if they have a portal, they can go in the little villages with the machine, and it's so much easier than getting them in an organized bus, vice versa, to the hospital. So that was super interesting. And that would be like, for me, a big milestone.
How much is that machine?
I think it was over $1 million.
So I wonder even if you could find a donor who would match half of the funds. So if you raised $500,000 and then someone else helped you with the other half, like I think there are just so many things to do here, even crowdfunding. There are amazing platforms like iFundWomen that I know you're not going to give away a bag, but maybe if someone gave a $10,000 gift to your campaign, maybe that would be worthy of getting a handbag or, you know, a lunch with you or something else. I'm not sure. This is really Stephanie's domain, but.
Well, obviously something really interesting with iFundWomen is that you can pre-sell inventory on iFundWomen. So if someone puts in $400 to the campaign, then they've bought a bag and you can sell. Give them a bag. Yeah, there's really great platforms out there and can definitely connect you with the team. iFundWomen, they're
Karen
an amazing Khan. Partner of ours.
She's amazing.
At Entreprenista. Karen Khan's been on our Entreprenista podcast, so we'll send you that link to listen to as well. She's absolutely incredible. Their team is wonderful.
Stephanie usually asks, who's your dream connection and who can she introduce you to? But I think Karen Khan is actually your dream connection for now. You might have other people too to tell Stephanie, but just in listening to you and your story, I think she could be an amazing, amazing partner for you.
I think Definitely. The two of you, Jessica, you had so many brilliant ideas. I think you are my person.
Thank you. Well, you can get in touch with me after. We'll get you camera ready and sell a lot of bags.
Be on point. Don't talk so much.
Sylvie, where can everyone find you and follow you on social media? And for our listeners who would like to buy a bag, where's the best place for them to do so?
So it's patalifestyle.com.
And how about your Instagram as well?
Pata.lifestyle.
Pata.lifestyle. And we will be sure to link out to everything in the show notes. Sylvie, thank you so much for being here. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jessica. We're here to help you
put your best heel forward. You've been listening to Startups and Stilettos, the show that highlights your peers in the startup world and meets you where you are to get you through your biggest challenges and towards your biggest goals. For additional episodes, extra content, show notes, and more, visit startupsandstilettos.com. Did you love this episode? Leave us a review and send us a screenshot via Instagram DM @entreprenistas, and you can enter to win a one-on-one mentor and strategy session with me. We're drawing a new winner every month, and I cannot wait to meet you.